Good morning, everybody. That was a great illustration, Anna. Kind of ties in with last week's message, too, with Alex just talking about the intimacy and spending that time with God. And if you weren't there, that was what the message was really dedicated to. And just a good challenge to keep thinking of that when we bring those things into our lives, everything else will fit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things that are added unto you. So it's just it's good for us to remember that we can always say at the end of the week, oh, Lord, I didn't have time to spend time with you. I didn't have that intimacy, you know, but really we make it a priority. We'll always be able to fit that in. We'll be surprised at how God honors our time in that as well. So really great. I had an amazing spiritual warfare attack last night. I had a raccoon that kept coming around my house till about 3 in the morning, and every single time I would set this garbage can up in a different way. I got very creative with it. He would just find a way to knock it over. So I'm just like, there's no way you're getting a free meal off me tonight. So I was committed, and I'd like to say that he did not get a free meal, so that was great. But I'm very tired today, so I'm just like, oh, Lord, okay, out of all the things. Usually it's my dog or it's the kids on Sunday, and I thought, oh, the kids are sleeping well, my dog is happy, and I thought I'll get a good night's sleep, and raccoon came, so... I wanted to touch on a topic today that I don't know if we really have a full understanding of what does it mean to judge. So when we're looking at judging Christians and we're judging non-Christians, the idea of judging right off the top as I start talking about it, we're going to be like, oh, no, it's not good. I don't want to hear it. And I think we've all had probably bad experiences in our lives where somebody has done it in an incorrect way, you know, or has done it in their own understanding, and it ends up leaving us with a feeling of like, oh, how on earth am I going to move on from this? Or, and sometimes we don't. It's easy to bring up offense, and it's easy to have these things that kind of creep up inside of us where we're just like, well, who are you to tell me? Why would you have said that? You know, you don't know my heart. These are things that we'll often hear in our Christian circles. But when the Lord created, and which we'll talk about both sides of it today, judging, it was to protect us if we're doing it in the right way. If I'm going to redeem somebody, to love somebody, and to give them a concern and say, hey, you know, this may not be the best idea, you know, there's something that can be very special from that. But the reality is a lot of times we look at the judging, even when someone's coming with those intentions, as something horrible, and we do have that offense come up and we don't want to hear it. So we'll look on both sides of this today. So we're going to be spending some time in 1 Corinthians today. If you do have a pen and paper, I've got a lot of verses that will be coming at us today for this. So we'll be looking at two different parts in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, and we'll be also looking at 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12. So in the context of when Paul's writing this letter, so Christians are not to judge other Christians, and Christians are to judge Christians. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Apostle Paul says both things in the same letter, just a few paragraphs apart. Therefore, so this is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. And then going into the next part, so we're looking at it saying, so we don't judge Christians. We're looking at it saying, okay, well, this is clear. God is the judge, you know, and we'll get into, you know, judge not lest you be judged. But the context of what they're saying is in this area, we're not to judge. Now, going into Corinthians 5, verse 12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not the inside, is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? So do we judge Christians? We're looking at these two different things that he's saying. Is Paul contradicting himself? No, Paul simply is instructing us that there are things we must not judge and things that we must judge. So when we look at what are we to judge, so we're going to go through this, we're going to look at what we're not to judge, and then we're going to look at if there is a situation where we do have to judge something, how do we do it? Are we slow to do it? Are we quick to do it? So we'll cover kind of all of this. The reason why I kind of put this together, I've noticed this in my own walk with the Lord when I've brought concerns to people and I've talked about certain things, you know, and it's horrible when it goes to Facebook because it just erupts into this, you know, kind of mess where you're just like, oh my goodness, like I did not want this to turn into, this, because everybody has an opinion. What we often hear is that people are Pharisees and Christians, oh my goodness, like, get off your high horse. It's time to, you know, start looking at things differently. And we really run into a trap sometimes when we don't fully know what to do. And then do we not say anything? I thought of it this week like this. If I was walking off a cliff of sin in my life spiritually, and I was coming to the end of it, and just say Tiffany was sitting on the sideline, you can even be right there, honey, and I'm just about to come off, and she was saying, oh, I can't really say anything. You know, I know he could hurt himself. You know, I know this sin in his life is something that should be addressed. You know, but I'm not a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. You know, judge not lest you be judged. I don't want to be judged by God. And yet we have that tendency not to say anything, and the person will walk off the cliff, hit rock bottom, and then we're there to pick them up. But can it be avoided? And the answer that God gives us today is yes, it can. And there's a right way to do it. So that's kind of the context of what we'll cover. And leaving this, my prayer for all of us is that we can walk into situations with love, with concern, being able to talk with people and saying, I don't have to feel guilty for giving you my honest heart's opinion. Or if the Lord has spoken to me, I can say this to you freely. Because I know that in our day and age, when we look at culture, when we look at the things that are going around us, we're not a culture that wants to receive criticism. We're not a culture that wants to be told what to do. These are areas in our heart that we need to come before the Lord. So if somebody does have a word for me, I may not want to hear it. I might receive it, but I'm going to be like, oh, are you kidding me? You don't even know what's going on. But what the Lord is saying is that daily we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, which means I'm taking what has been said, true or not, and it may be way off base, but I'm giving this to the Lord and saying, God, is there truth in this? Is there something that I'm not seeing? So that in a nutshell is what we will begin to cover. We must not judge the hidden purposes of the heart of other Christians based on their decisions, actions, perspectives, words, or personality that concerns us, if those things themselves are not explicitly sinful. So that becomes the point of this. So actions, people's personalities, what they're saying, if it's not explicitly sinful, we're not to judge that. We can't have that idea of, okay, well, you know, this is what I think it is, or I love as Christians and I don't actually love this. But we really come to this place of saying, like, oh my goodness, we need to pray for this person. Let's talk about this. I'm going to tell you all the stuff I know about this person, and it's usually not good. And then so we're gossiping full out, and then we're like, but let's pray. Let's pray for them now. We have to watch that we're not slandering someone's character. And that really will come down to the Matthew verse of judge not lest ye be judged. It's the wrong motive for the heart. If we want to pray for that person, we need to go to that person and bring somebody with you and directly talk about the concern or the issue. So that's just a sideline of just not falling into that trap of gossip and then covering it in prayer. So when we look at, again, 1 Corinthians 4:5, we must not assume sin if we suspect sin, given on how biased our suspicion can be. So how fast these areas can erupt and hurt other people, we can understand this because we've all done this. We know how fast we can move from misunderstanding or disagreement to concern, then to suspicion, and then to judgment. If we think we perceive smoke, we can too quickly assume there's a fire. In such cases, we must remember Jesus' words, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And that's John 7:24, and I wish that was our go-to verse when we're in these situations of concern and wanting to help somebody. So just hear that again. In such cases, we must remember Jesus' words, do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. We see it. If it's not something that we're sure of, we need to address it. We need to go to that person and talk about it. I think that one of the areas now that we need to really look at too is we talked just a little bit about, you know, social medias and Facebook and those kind of things. It creates a very easy platform for us to get involved with something. I'm very guilty of this, and God's helping me with this area, because I want to defend and I want to get up there and I want to talk about, you know, what God says and defend the Bible and defend these different things. And you start seeing a battle that takes place that doesn't bear any fruit. And you have a lot of Christians who will come in and say, well, do we really need the Bible like this? And it really turns into something that isn't healthy. I want to challenge us, honestly, as a church and as a family, to be people who are praying, not people who are being involved in these discussions that don't go anywhere. Well, God keeps showing me again and again that in my weakness, he's strong. I don't need to be the one who's defending God unless he has said, defend me. You know, unless he's saying to me, Justin, I want you to specifically talk with this person. But the one thing that I'm learning again is I'm talking about going directly to the person. Do it, even on Facebook. Private message them and say, hey, these are my concerns. These are things that I'm kind of wondering about. But when we open it up to everybody's opinion, we're actually creating a courtroom setting where everybody can be a judge. And we don't want to create that atmosphere because, again, if somebody's struggling with certain questions or different things and they see Christians fighting back and forth, what does it really show them about Christ-like love? What does it show them about reconciliation? Because not too often those conversations get resolved. They end up usually being this big, long, drawn-out email of people's opinions, you know, or things like that. So it's just something to think about, and I'm challenged with that, so I thought I would challenge you guys with it. So what must we judge? Christians must judge the explicit sinful behavior of a professing Christian. Jesus said, a tree you will know it by its fruit, Matthew 12, verse 33. When do the hidden sinful purposes of the heart reveal themselves? In a person's sinful behavior. That's why Paul didn't even have to be present to pass judgment on a man who engaged in sexual immorality. That's in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. And he explicitly instructed the Corinthian Christians to pass judgment on him too. That's 12, verse 13 as well. When we sin, our Christian brothers and sisters have an obligation to judge us. Now, I want you to think of that. When we sin, our Christian brothers and sisters have an obligation, and the word judge is not to sit here and say, you are horrible, what are you doing? This is just not of God at all. What were you thinking? The idea of coming as we say judge, I want you guys to think of this as something that it is your brothers and sisters coming before you in love that have concern, that are saying, because you are valuable to the kingdom and you are valuable to me in relationship, I want to be here for you. And even if you don't agree with me, I believe that this is what I've prayed over. This is what God's speaking to my heart in, and I want you to know that there's a better way. And we line this up with Scripture. We line this up with what God says, not just our own opinion. It's easy to think, well, it worked for me, so it should work for you. But is that God's best for that person? It's another area that we really have to look at and say, Lord, is this really your best? Is this what you're saying? Because our opinion, when it gets involved, unfortunately, it can sometimes take people into the wrong direction. We need to be lined up with God's word. We need to be knowing what the Spirit is saying to us. So when we sin, our Christian brothers and sisters have an obligation to judge us. We're not here to condemn them, but we must do this out of love. We are called to repent. Such judgment is grace, an expression of God's kindness. If you look at Romans 2, verse 4, and we only compound, so that would be just backing that up, but if we only compound our sin, and if we take offense because of what someone has said to us, we end up in a place that's even worse off. You know, we can become critical, we can become bitter, we can become unteachable, and God doesn't want that. If a word is given, right or wrong, we still need to bring it to the Father. It's very different how I'm preaching today. I've been challenged. I've been doing my credentials, and I'm doing homiletic style today. So normally I'm just like, fly by the seat of my pants. I'll have some points, and I'll just talk on it. So we're doing notes today. So if I'm a little bit slower in the transition, just forgive me. But God is growing me, so it's good. So to be slow to judge. So when blatant sin is confirmed, Christians must lovingly judge Christians. But in most situations, we must be very slow to judge, exercising great care and restraint. Our sinful flesh has a hair trigger to judge others. We must have a healthy view on our own pride and keep Jesus' words ringing in our ears. And this is where this applies. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So when we say this line to somebody, you know, I'm concerned, I want to help you out, and someone would say to you, judge not, lest you be judged. How can you judge me? You can't. And that, in our culture, guys, is where we have come to this place where it usually stops there. Well, I can't say anything to this person. I'm not able to do this. But the reality of what God is saying is, out of a spirit of love, do we often think of judging as a protection? We don't. Even as I was doing this sermon this week, I thought, oh my goodness, like, so to judge somebody or to have the Lord speak to us, to give a loving word of correction or help, it is a protection. And I thought, that's really interesting. So when I was going through some of the study this week, I had come up with this idea, and it was really neat. When Jesus talks about the wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, there needs to be a judgment that takes place in that, because if we're not being discerning, if we're not testing the Spirit, the enemy can come into churches and just railroad them off. This is something that we need to be looking at. So one of the biggest problems in the church is that some Christians are way too trusting. So in Matthew 7:15, Jesus warned, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Far too many of the sheep do not heed the Lord's words. Even when believers are cautioned about certain false teachers, they blow off the warning and blindly follow these wolves." So again, we see that the Bible saying we're not to judge a person's heart or motives, but he that is of spiritual judges all things, says Paul. So in 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16, "Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who knows the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." According to Paul, true followers of Jesus are of the same mind. When you have the mind of Christ, you have spiritual discernment. Christians who are walking with Christ have the authority to judge people's words and actions. How do you know if someone is a false teacher? So we go to Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So we think of that, honestly. God's word given to us is used for many things, not just reading your word, understanding God. God will speak through it. All that's true. But the purpose of it, the sword of his word, is used for, and it's God-breathed, which I think is just amazing. It's a living word. It's God through these words, that flow, like the Holy Spirit flows out of us like a river. It's used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A lot of times that we're in our culture today, we're really getting this understanding that the Bible is interpretive. You know, it doesn't fit with our culture, and I don't know any culture where the Bible has ever fit perfectly. It hasn't. You know, people have this understanding of, well, God, you are so good and you're loving, so all these other things can't apply to what your word says. And that will be the biggest trap that we will be heading into. I really believe this in the last days. And I talk a little bit about that in Timothy as well, what we would look like in the last days, what God says we're going to look like. But the reality is, for the time period that we're in right now, we're seeing these things starting to happen. And this idea that God is just all love, you know, I use this analogy and I like it. If we look at Wayne Gretzky, and I don't think anyone's young enough not to know who that is, maybe Charlotte, if he's just a hockey player, and that's his only attribute that he's known for, and that would be it, what a disservice we'd be doing to him as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a son. You know, all of those attributes of who he is, good and bad, would be pushed to the side, and we would say, well, Wayne Gretzky is just a hockey player. You know, he's amazing at it. He's wonderful at it. He's probably the best hockey player that I've ever seen. You know, it's just unbelievable. But losing those other attributes of who he is, that's not his whole character. That's not fully who he is. So when we look at God in that aspect, where God is just a God of love, we're missing these other attributes. So to sit here and say, well, how on earth would a righteous judge, right, someone who's going to judge me, someone who's going to look at my sin, who's made me this way, and I've heard many people say this in conversation that I've had outside of the church, how is that a good thing? And I honestly look at this and I would say, as a righteous judge, Why would we want a God who wouldn't be a righteous judge? Why would we want a God who sits on the throne that says, you know what, I'm going to let that slide. This is okay. You know, you're not as bad as this person, so, oh, that person's in trouble, but you're good. We fall into this trap sometimes of thinking along the lines of that, but it's to realize that God as a whole is beautiful as a righteous judge to a loving father, and all of these things in between. So even when this loving father would discipline us in righteousness, it's a correction because he loves us. And God does this whole circle back to that point that love really is what God is, right or wrong, in our own minds. It will always come back to this place that God is that loving Father. And a loving Father would discipline his kids, would correct his kids, would help them, would teach them after that principle. So it's just an amazing thought to think on that. So again, going back to, we just miss that warning sometimes. So again, the Bible's saying that we do not judge a person's heart. And we know that the Bible can't be interpretive, so we know that God has given us this ability to understand how to talk with people and to do it with the right heart. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I just love that God has given us that outline again. That God may be perfect and thoroughly equip all of his saints for good works, which means any situation that we're in, if we're going to God, we're able to handle that. We're able to overcome, and we're able to be there for our brothers and sisters. And to be honest with you guys, a lot of times when we hear the Lord on something and we go into that situation and we bring a correction out of love, our heart is in the right place, 9 times out of 10, it's not received well. And we end up in a situation thinking like, Lord, I heard you, but now this relationship feels strained, and now this relationship could even break over this. But what I keep coming back to in my own life, I want to be a God-pleaser. It doesn't mean that I become self-righteous and now I'm going to look for anybody's sin that I can jump on and say, oh, out of love, I want to correct you and tell you that you're a horrible person. It's not what we're doing. It's out of love to say, Lord, if God lays it on my heart for somebody that is in my circle or out of my circle, I want to be willing to be that voice for the Lord, to be equipped and ready to do those things. So in social media, dealing with Christians as a whole, there is no doubt that some Christians are still going to continue to complain that judging is unbiblical and use Matthew 7, 1 verse 3 out of context. But if we know it's coming with the right heart and not a Pharisee's heart, which you'll often hear that you're being a Pharisee, let's look at it again. So from the perspective that we're looking at coming out of a heart of love, you're concerned, you're bringing God's word, you're wanting to support this person and walk with them through it. Not easy. We'll read this verse again and look at it from that perspective. So do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If I am critical, if I have an agenda, if I'm wanting to hurt somebody, if I'm wanting to look self-righteous, this is what this verse is applying to. So if I'm coming out of love, if I'm coming out of concern, if I have a heart that wants to partner with this person, draw them closer to the Lord, I'm okay to be measured by that. And it changes the dynamic of this verse. It changes the whole foundation of it and really shows us that this was what God was meaning. It continues to go on. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take out your speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And the reality of this verse is it's to check your heart. It's to make sure that you are in that right place with the Lord, that your motives are what God has said, and you're not looking for agenda or to hurt somebody. Now that plank is out, it's removed, and yet we still see that the same person who wanted to remove the plank still removes the speck from his brother's eye. There's still that follow-through that's taking place in this, so it's to check our heart, make sure that we're right, and then go to that person, and then remove that speck. I love the part of this because I've always had people say this, you know, where it's like, well, look at the plank in your eye, don't look at the speck in mine, and we hear that quite often. You know, but the reality of it is that we all need Jesus. We all have these planks and specks. It doesn't really matter. The point is that the Lord wants to remove whatever is in our life that he doesn't want there. So it's taking it. It's going before, you know, the Lord and saying, Lord, what is it in my own life? And that's partly what we're to be doing in our own personal relationship with Jesus, is working out our salvation, praying, Lord, what's in me? It's this journey that's beautiful that God takes us through, that refines us. And there's areas in our lives that we know we need to get rid of, When we hang on to it, God will usually shake us up a little bit until it's gone. But it's to be willing to say, God, I want to give it all to you. So what we fail to understand sometimes is the Spirit of God abides in regenerate Christians. Hence, we have the mind of Christ. I want to touch on this because if we think of this, we have the mind of Christ. So it's not John Talbot's best opinion in his mind. It's not Justin's, you know, best opinion in my mind. If the Lord is speaking, there's a unity that would take place between us as brothers that we would both be able to walk away saying, okay, God, I understand this. It takes us from a place of just having our own opinions and knowing that we have the mind of Christ, that he's speaking to us and we understand it. There's a higher level of thinking in this. So as for the unbeliever, Scripture clearly teaches that the natural man, ungenerated, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. So it's foolishness to them. Neither can he know them because they are spiritual discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. So the ungenerated person does not or cannot understand the things of God. Amazingly, a growing number of self-professed Christians think the things of God are foolishness. So we have to stop and really think of that in our lives. If we're coming to a place, and this is kind of now the heart of the message to us, to me, all of us. If I'm in my walk with the Lord and I'm starting to look at the Bible and I'm thinking, this area, I'm not so sure about that. You know, that seems kind of like foolishness. You know, like, God, this is like the 21st century. You know, like there's things that are happening here that, you know, are different from a book that was 2,000 years ago. Heaven and hell, I don't know. That's probably not a hell. God's loving. These are the things that we need to break down in our own walk with the Lord and say, God, if your word is breathed life by you, if your scripture is what I am to abide by, you know, and study and spend time in, you know, that really becomes the reality, that intimacy with the Lord, again, as Alex talked about last week. When we have that time with him, these things that were so easy to say, that doesn't fit, this does, and I don't like this, but I guess I can deal with that. All of that gets wiped out because the mind of Christ, we start to understand it as, well, God has said, and as a young child in the Lord, or as a faithful child, we would say, Dad, you've said it, so I'm going to do it. You look at our own lives with our own fathers, you know, and there's lots of times we're mothers. There's lots of times when we wouldn't understand as kids, but I remember calling my parents when I was maybe 21 or 22, saying, I am so sorry for all the things that I did. I'm getting it. I'm understanding why you guys did this. But as a young child, I would have temper tantrums. I'd be upset. I was probably like even 20 at the time, but... But the reality of it was is that there was an understanding that had taken place after. Use that analogy and think on that, because then with the Lord, when we're spending time with him in that intimacy, we start to change. An understanding starts to take place where we're like, okay, God, I'm understanding this now. There's areas that we may not ever understand till glory, but to know who God is suddenly changes the dynamics in our own life. And we start to realize, okay, God, because you say you are this, and you are trustworthy. I know that you are a good God, a loving Father who wants my best, you know, who will even turn around what the enemy has meant for my bad and use it for your good and your glory, for my good and his glory. So the good news is the believer when we read and study the Bible, we are not easily taken in by the experience. But even mature believers can have the wool pulled over their eyes if they stop being intimate with Jesus. There's that intimacy again. It is so important. It was for the very reason that John penned, and this is First John 4, that he penned this warning. Beloved, believe not in every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. If we believe everything that's going on, if we go to every event that is out there and we just trust it because they say it's a Christian event, we trust it because it's a church, even from the pulpit, if there was something that I had ever said that would be off, I want that challenge to come back. I want you to say, Justin, and try to be nice because we're learning about this judging thing, but I want to be held accountable because I don't want to be in error. You know, I don't want to think one way and believe that, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. And then I'm telling you guys something, and imagine through that word that many would be affected by that, and I wouldn't want to think what would happen. So we are called to test the spirit. We are called to go into these situations having discernment. It's not being critical. Think, oh my goodness, the worship, no, this, no, I don't like this, I don't like that. That's not the spirit we want to come in with. It's to discern and say, Lord, what are you saying? What is your best in this situation? So when we look at the last part of this, when we want to look at our own understanding, and a lot of times it's easy for us to do this. So when we're corrected out of love, we often want to say, I know my heart, I'm aware of what I'm doing, don't judge me. Jesus knows what I'm saying, Jesus knows me. We need to bring it back to what the Bible says. And what does the Bible say about trusting our own heart? Because that's an easy way to do this in the end. You know, you don't understand me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the situation, you know. And if someone's coming out of love, and again, I'm not saying if someone's doing it in the wrong way, you now can biblically correct them. Say, hey, let's look at this from this perspective. You know, are you coming out of love? Are you doing this out of concern? But if we stop and we say, well, Lord, you know my heart. You know what's going on. I'm not going to change. If we're saying that to the other person, Jeremiah 17:9 says it very clearly. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but the one who walks wisely will be delivered. This is why we need the body of Christ. This is why we need brothers and sisters who aren't afraid to go into those hard situations and say, man, I want to be here for you. What's going on? You know, when someone would say you're a Pharisee and a hypocrite and you got a plank in your eye, we stop in that position, then we do a huge disservice to all of us as brothers and sisters. With the role that God's given us, with a Christ-like mind, with a heart that is for building up the body, edifying the church, building each other up, loving each other in such a special way, suddenly we see that judging becomes a protection. A true love, I can't believe I'm getting texts, I'm sorry guys, I got my timer on, so. And we start seeing it as something that becomes beautiful. It becomes an expression of the Father's love directly for you, because in that moment when he has called someone to come, it's out of concern. The last I would like to leave on is thinking of David and Nathan. When King David had done these horrific sins, he had Uriah murdered, he had slept with his wife, all of these things were taking place, and he was in a situation that he had continued to go down, down, down into this area, into this pit. And I could imagine Nathan standing in that place with the Lord at first, thinking like, he could take my head like that. He is a king, but he is my friend. And he chose in that to say, Lord, I'm going to choose you first. And when Nathan did that, the Lord moved mightily. David was caused to come to a place of repenting and changed his whole life in that aspect. There were still consequences. But to have a friend like Nathan in that situation is what we're called to be to our David. You know, the people in our lives. I want you to think on this as we have the worship team come up. Part of this message is how to judge, which we've talked about, how not to do it. But the other side of it too is there in your own life an offense that's been created because of somebody judging you in the wrong way? Has there been an area of your life where you have felt that I can't say anything because they'll think I'm a Pharisee and they'll think I'm judging? And I want just to have a moment, just as you guys are playing, just for a second, just to have a moment with the Lord. And the most important thing is forgiveness. So if there is somebody in your life that has come at you the wrong way, who has said things to you that have been hurtful, that you can still feel, you can still remember, when I was praying about this message, I just felt the Lord saying, I want to take that from you today. I want to remove those thoughts. I want to remove that pain. But it is the choice to forgive. So I want to encourage you just for a moment, and then if you can just go into the song in a minute, like keep going though. And just give it to the Lord. So we're just going to take a moment just to pray where you're sitting. We don't need to do an altar call for this. And just think on these things. And if you're not sure, if you're like, oh, I'm pretty good, and just pray, Lord, help me to keep growing in these areas so that I'm not going to stand in a place where I can't receive criticism or judgment if it's done in love. I want to be open to you, Holy Spirit, to change me, not to be closed off to the things that you're maybe trying to say to me through my brothers and sisters. And then as the body as a whole, I want to encourage us that when we do feel that concern, to check the plank in our own eye first each time and say, Lord, is this what you're saying? And if I have agenda in this, or if I have wrong motives, then help me to get through those things so that I can go to this person out of love and do it the right way. Judgment is a beautiful gift from the Lord to protect us, to keep us safe, for the Lord to work in these situations. So just take a moment to think on that, guys. And then I encourage you to say, Lord, I forgive this person. Because if we can't forgive, the Lord can't forgive us. So it's so important for that. God, I just would pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would just meet with us in a personal way, Father. That, Lord, if you haven't been on our radar for that intimacy, if we've been busy, God, you are always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we've done, said, Lord Jesus, in situations that we're in that sometimes just feels like we're always doing that. God, I thank you so much that you are walking with us, that you love us, and that you're just waiting for us to respond. You're just waiting for us to talk with you and to spend that time with you. God, with the message we've received today from you, Lord, I pray that, God, it would go deep within our hearts, that you would give us just a new vision and a new understanding of loving people well enough to protect them, giving them a word from you. And Holy Spirit, use us mightily in those areas. Give us favor among our brothers and sisters, our family members, Lord. I just thank you for all the things that you are doing. God, as we've given our hearts to you and as we've repented of maybe even unforgiveness in our own lives, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to set the captives free, Lord Jesus. So today I believe that in all of us that we have been set free. And Lord, we want to continue to pursue you and to love people well, even when it's not easy. But God, just go with each one of us today. Thank you, Father, that you want personal relationship with us, that you love us, that you died on the cross, and someday we get to stand before you, Lord Jesus, and run into your arms. I thank you for being the perfect example of what a brother is and what a father is, God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you partner with us to get us to those places. Make it all about you, God. We give you all the glory. We would just pray, Lord, less of me and more of you, Father God, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Be with us. Amen.